Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to another episode of A Colts Podcast brought to you by Fan Nation on SI.com and A Horseshoe Huddle, The Horseshoe Huddle. My name's Brandon, and I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore. Buddy, we got a Colts schedule. We delayed the episode half an hour to react live to said schedule. And we're going to dig right into it. How you doing, buddy?
I'm pumped. Some people hate the schedule release day, think it's overhyped because they think who cares when teams are playing. But I think it, as you mess up and your mic falls down,
what the
gotta,
shit?
Gotta love a live show, but it is important because it sets up when teams have to face each other, where's the bye week, how many primetime games, which is always something big for Colts owner Jim Irsay. And I think we're going to find some things out digging into this, that the Colts have an opportunity early in the season to really lock some things up. So it's going to be a fun episode tonight. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Feeling better. Two situations under control, you know. Interested in the schedule. And if anybody hates schedule release day, fuck off. You're not an NFL fan. It gives you something.
Explicit.
It's an explicit episode. Here's the thing. If you don't enjoy schedule release day, you don't pay close attention to the news, right? So this is like a nice little in-between point of the off season. You know what I mean? Like something to talk about again, right after the draft. So luckily, our schedule's worked out, so we haven't run out of things to talk about yet, but you know, this falls right in line after the draft, so it's perfect. I love it. This is the best schedule we've had in years, Zach Erlandson. So I might agree with that. I saw a strength of schedule post the other day about how the Cowboys again have the easiest schedule of 2022, which is unbelievable, you know, because they finished first in their division. I don't understand why their schedule is the easiest in the entire league. You know, that's America's team for you, but the Colts are on the better side of that graph. So I'm happy about that. But Andrew, we're going to dig in to that schedule. We're going to talk about that. And it's interesting, you know, just quick look. Obviously, I'm trying my best, like, not to look ahead because I want to, for the most part, live react because that's more fun. But yeah, I obviously have looked at a few things. I've added some notes. It's an interesting schedule, especially the first half. What do you think?
It really is. Just looking at the schedule as a whole, the Colts start out with a lot of division opponents in the first half of the year. By week seven, the Colts have played five out of their six divisional games. So they have a chance to really get a leg up on the division if they take care of business. Looking later in the year, we got plenty. That's kind of where the Colts have most of their primetime games, with more than just one at home this year. So that's exciting. For Indianapolis. So there's a lot to look forward to in this schedule. We'll kind of talk about where the bye week falls, but there's a lot. I think if you're a Colts fan or you're a part of the Colts organization, there's a lot to like.
I think I might need to come to one of the primetime games this year with you. Might need to claim one of those tickets.
Do it.
Probably not a Monday night game. No. We'll talk about it after this. You know, I wish the Broncos game was at home. I really do. I wish you and me and Courtney and James and Paige and Danny and all of us could go to that game together. That'd be a lot of fun because James is a Broncos fan, but you know, things hurt. All right, let's dig in. Preseason, we're not going to talk about this. We are going to tell you the games and we are not going to talk about it because nobody gives a shit. We got at the Bills versus the Lions and versus the Buccaneers. Great. Andrew, anything on the preseason?
Not really. Colts have two preseason games at home. The second preseason game will be more of the dress rehearsal. So I guess if you're a Colts fan, you want to check it out. You'll be able to see that at home. But yeah, nothing really to say about the preseason.
Still love that it's only three games. Love that. because I don't even watch preseason games. Andrew and I are going to be doing episodes. He's going to be like, why didn't you watch these games? And I'm going to say, because I do not give a shit. However, it is important for Andrew, neighbors moan.
Neighbors mowing.
Neighbors
weekly,
mowing.
Weekly tradition.
Here we go. Summer's back. But we will talk about the importance of that those games for certain players when that time comes around. Those new draft picks, those fringe guys. We'll be talking less about the games and more about the players when those times come around. But let's get digging into the thick of things, Andrew. Like you said, divisional opponents out the door almost by the end of week seven. We start out away against the Houston Texans in Houston. T.Y.'s homie might come back just to open up week one. We're going to see. Maybe we'll talk about some T.Y. news later. I don't know if you've heard anything, but at Houston. So this is a great time, Andrew, in my opinion, to get this divisional rival out of the way. Just because you don't want the young quarterback, Davis Mills, to get going, get cooking, and get his feel for things for the season before you get a chance to get a divisional win, not only a divisional win, but a home opener win, hopefully. That would be wonderful.
Well, yeah, it's not the home opener. This will be at Houston.
I'm sorry, a season opener. You get me.
But yeah, this is a great chance for Indianapolis to get a huge monkey off their back, starting out at Houston, where the Colts beat Houston 31-0 in Houston last year. And the Colts, we're still going to talk about it until it happens. The Colts have not won a season opener since 2014. And the Colts and Jim Irsay put a lot of pressure on themselves, and they make this game important that they want to start off the season on the right foot. They really want to take this opener and then kind of catapult them throughout the beginning of the rest of throughout the beginning of the season. So they have a great opportunity to do so because right. The Houston Texans aren't expected to be a very good team this year. The Colts can't take that lightly, though. They can't just say, "Oh, dude, it's
losing this game would just be."
The Colts get
the most thing, you know, this
Colts thing. This can't be 2020 where the Colts go into Jacksonville in the season opener, think they're going to win and end up losing the game. Colts got to come out of the gate firing and really show that they mean business. So they can't take the Houston lightly. They need to go in there, take care of business and see if really try to get that monkey off their back and not have to worry about starting 0-1 for, I think, the ninth consecutive season.
Now, I think we would have said the same thing for a Philip Rivers week one at Jacksonville. In regards to, I don't think a veteran quarterback like Matt Ryan lets a loss this, you know, week one happen. But things happen. You know, you get Marlon Max that go out in the first play of the game. You get Paris Campbell's that go out. You get players injured. You get caught off guard, but the advantage Matt Ryan has is a full off season compared to what Philip Rivers had. So I can't imagine us losing this football game. I mean, we've said it for years, right? I cannot imagine us losing this game. Who did we open up against last year? Seahawks.
Seattle.
Okay. So that game we imagined we could lose. That was not a surprise. But the Texans, man, they're just bad. Davis Mills shows some promise, but he's no Deshaun Watson. However you feel about Deshaun Watson, the football player Deshaun Watson is better than Davis Mills. We beat the Texans 2 out of 2 times the last 2 years, at least, maybe more. So I can't imagine us losing this football game.
I mean, we say that every year, though. So the Colts have to. I don't even think it's more of what the Texans can do against the Colts. Is that the Colts can't beat them?
Screw up.
The Colts can't beat themselves. They really need to go out there, take care of business, and get the season started off on the right foot. They'll have a good opportunity to do that in Houston.
Absolutely. And I am looking at our website and just laughing about a classic Brandon, you know, production error. Let's move it along to week two. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Week two, okay? We could knock out a couple of bad feelings this week here at Jacksonville. We could start off 2-0. I mean, we could legitimately start off 2-0 ahead of the game this year, which we've not been able to do for years. And we could win in Jacksonville.
For me, you say we could, we very well could, but I'm not guarantee it until I see it. I need to see it, that the Colts go to Jacksonville and take care of business. And if you think on the flip side of things, imagine if the Colts do lose at Houston and then do lose at Jacksonville. Those are the two things that the Colts have probably been harping about and focusing on all offseason. Is again, they didn't win their opener and made the season start off bad last year. And then it all came to the close when they collapsed in Jacksonville and can't do it. So this is really the first 2 weeks of the season are going to be more mental than anything. Is can the Colts get over that mental hurdle of winning week one? Can they get over that mental hurdle of winning in Jacksonville? And if they do, I think this just sets up the Colts season. If they do, they're going to be on a run going into week three, which is one of their biggest games of the year. If they don't and they lose both of those, things could really start to stumble pretty quickly. So these two games, while they might seem like they can be pretty easy and the Colts should win them, they're probably two of the most important games of the entire season for the Indianapolis Colts.
Which is wild to say, but they are divisional opponents, first of all. And second of all, you know, we've started slow every season for the last few years. So it's important. Like you said, I actually hope this game was week one at Jacksonville. I literally was thinking about that earlier today, just because, I mean, the last stain on last year, right? The one that sealed the deal, we didn't make the postseason, was this game in Jacksonville. So I was just thinking about how easy it would be to be fired up for week one. I mean, just in training camp, I mean, like getting ready for this game would have been probably the most fired up offseason you've seen out of this football team in years, right? I mean, that's going to be fresh on their mind anyway. Week two, that's still going to be the thought, right? But week one, I mean, without any interruption in between, we don't care about the Bills, Lions, and Bucks, right? Having that fresh on our mind going into week one would have been wild. I really would have enjoyed that.
The week one opponent for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Washington Commanders. Carson Wentz's first game with his new team will be in Jacksonville against the team that sent the Colts home.
Other than that, I mean, this is an opportunity for the Jaguars to show off against a divisional opponent. I'm seeing the Jacksonville Jaguars as a team as one of the potentially most improved teams in the NFL this year, especially after the draft. So, when you get those draft picks, that helps. But it'll be an interesting test. It'll be a new coaching staff still. You know, it's Trevor Lawrence's second year. How much is he going to improve this offseason? So. We definitely can't sleep on either one of these first two games, but hopefully, oh my God, I would just love to be on a 2-0 run to start the season going into this monster of a football game against the Kansas City Chiefs at home opener, day after my wedding. Real unfortunate. Andrew's going to be real hungover for that one. What do you think about this football game? How do you feel about playing a team of this caliber that early in the season? Based on their season last year, early in the season, you know, they're a late bloomer when it comes to new seasons. What are we thinking, Andrew?
Colts have a chance to steal one here because I think the Chiefs are going to still probably be trying to adjust with an offense without Tyreek Hill. The Colts, their home opener isn't week one, so that you won't have to think about maybe any rust or any of the week one burdens that the Colts have. And I think with it being the not only the home opener, so the Lucas Oil Stadium crowd is going to be juiced and ready to rock because they haven't seen their football team in action right in front of them in 9 months. But it's also a huge opponent in the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, Chris Jones, all these big names coming to town. The Colts fan base is going to be ready, and they're going to be ready to be loud too, to really help the Colts pull off a victory against the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think as far as if where the Colts would have to play the Chiefs, I think right here is kind of the perfect time for them to be able to capitalize on that.
I'll tell you what, I'm kicking myself in the ass for not flying out of Indy for the honeymoon. You know what I mean? Like, how fucking awesome. Sorry, explicit. How awesome would it
watch
be?
Watch this, brother.
That's just two. explicit. So how awesome would it be to start off your honeymoon with a Colts game, right? Before you fly to St. Lucia.
Yeah, but then what if the Colts lost and then you'd have to do that long flight?
Well, then here's the thing, Andrew, you're going to St. Lucia. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you're going to St. Lucia. By the way, 12-hour layover in Chicago and Miami on the way there, and then Miami on the way back.
Ooh, that's brutal.
Not fun. You know what we're going to do? Party. We're going to leave the airport. We're going to party. Anyway, this should be a phenomenal football game. I mean, even though the Chiefs on paper seem to be so much better than the Colts, we seem to do really well against them. We beat them 2 years ago. Surprise of the season, I think, in the NFL. So one of the big surprises in the NFL that year. So really looking forward to this game. Really hope I get to watch all of it, if not the majority of it. And look forward to that one. Andrew, anything else on that one?
I just think it's a big opportunity for the Colts to really capitalize and kind of prove them to themselves and to the rest of the league that they can play on the Chiefs level. We've seen it before a couple years ago. We know the Colts have it in them, but this would be possibly, I mean, they're facing two lower tier opponents to start out. This will be their first huge test of the season.
Week four, we knock out our first round of divisional opponents. We play the Texans at home. Titans. I cannot believe the schedule. Like, we're not done yet with this ridiculousness of divisional opponents early in the year. I bitched about this last year, about playing the divisional opponents, all of them, so early, especially with the importance of divisional games because of a team like the Tennessee Titans who have been so close in contention with us the last few years. I just don't understand why you wouldn't want these games to occur later in the season, or at least the second one. But our first matchup at home against the Titans, typically, at least the bright side is Derrick Henry is not usually cooking by now. Not that we haven't been able to handle him, but third and final divisional opponent, the first wave, done in week four.
It's going to be interesting to see how that Titans offense adjusts to life without AJ Brown. AJ Brown's been the Colt killer for the last few seasons. And like I said, I think last episode, I mean, the Colts aren't afraid of Derrick Henry. Yeah, Derrick Henry can definitely take over at any game at any time. He can get his, but the Colts have had more trouble trying to stop AJ Brown than they have Derrick Henry. So
it's because he focused so hard on a Derrick Henry, and then an AJ Brown easily takes over a football game. Andrew, who's left in the receiving core of this football team to take over a game if the Colts say, we're not letting Derrick Henry score touchdowns, we're not letting Derrick Henry earn yards? Who's left in that team to win a football game if we sell out on Derrick Henry?
That's why I think the Colts could have an advantage in this matchup this year, because of not only if the Colts sell out on Derrick Henry, but the lack of receiving options that the Titans have versus what the Colts have added this offseason with Stephon Gilmore, with Roddy McLeod, Nick Cross in the secondary, having Kenny Moore there. It's going to be interesting. And again, the Colts get them at home to start out. The past couple seasons, they've had to travel to Tennessee with their first matchup. So start out with two road games and then two home games back to back as well. I mean, this is why I think the Colts schedule kind of is pretty favorable to them, because while they have some tough opponents to start the season within the first quarter of the year, both of their toughest opponents will be at home.
Yeah. So, hey, Bailey. I do think we split with the Titans. I just want to be up front. I don't think we lose at home to the Titans and win in Tennessee like a lot of times it's happened. I see us winning this football game and making sure we take number one, clear number one in the division. At this point, if we beat the Chiefs, never know. Maybe a clear number one in the AFC. So I'm looking forward to that matchup as well. And I think at that point in the season, I think a win over the Titans would be a huge opportunity.
I just think it sets up the Colts for the rest of the middle part of the season, because I'm going to harp on this just because I think it's so important. I think it's for the beginning part of the season for the Colts, it's all about the mental aspect to the game. I mean, getting over that week one hump, getting over the beating Jacksonville in Jacksonville hump, being able to take care of Tennessee and then possibly getting a leg up on them to start the year and proving to themselves that they can hang with these guys in the AFC. So right. It's going to be a lot of mental hurdles that the Colts have an opportunity to bypass and really get the ball rolling on the rest of the year.
All right. And moving on to the first primetime game of the season in Denver against the Broncos and Russell Wilson and the Broncos. Andrew, this is where we lose our first game, in my opinion.
It's going to be a tough one. Thursday night game. It's on a short week going across the country after a tough divisional battle. It's going to be a tough game for sure. The Broncos definitely have stepped it up and have quite a few weapons on both sides of the ball. So the Colts could be vulnerable at this point, but the Colts do seem to have success against the Broncos. They seem to play pretty well in Denver. So I'm not going to count them out, but yeah, I think the Broncos will probably have the upper hand in this matchup.
Now, the problem is Broncos receivers, Cortland Sutton. I don't know if you have this in the news later.
It's not Cortland Sutton. We do have it in the news. We'll get to it.
I'm sorry. It's
Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Jeudy arrested. So who knows? Maybe they're down, you know, additional receiver. That team's full of offensive weapons. You know, maybe if the law of the United States of America prevents some of those players from playing, that'd be great. But at the end of the day, I just think Russell Wilson is too good to lose this football game at home Thursday night against a team that he's had success against in the past. Now it's a conference opponent. Just seems like this is where we finally have our slip, of course, in prime time. But this is, Andrew, where I will mark our first loss of the season. I think we beat Kansas City, but we'll get more into our record prediction later. Anything else left on that game?
I just think that's probably going to be the toughest of the first five games for the Colts because of the short week. And
that might be the toughest game of the year.
I think there's still a couple that I think are going to be probably a little bit tougher than at the Broncos. But yeah, definitely a challenge for the Colts.
All right, let's move it along to the game at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here we go. Quick turnaround. This is where it starts, guys. We don't need to talk about this game, right? Or the next game. We just need to talk about the fact that why?
See, I think you have a bigger problem with it than I do.
I'm sure it's good for us in the long run.
See, I mean, yeah, but I think you just have a problem with all the division games being in the beginning of the year from an NFL scheduling standpoint. And I'm sure there's hardly any teams that are like this. But at the same time, I mean, do you really, outside of the AFC South, do many people really care about Colts Jaguars or Colts Titans? So no. That's probably
Colts,
why
Titans, they put yes. Them. Colts Titans, yes, especially because at the end of the season, this could be playoff deciding games, right? I just don't understand. Oh, hell, the Jaguars, the Texans, and we don't play the Texans till the end of the year. But, these could be playoff deciding games, and I don't understand. You know, I mean, we have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Of our last six games, it's 3 NFC teams, 3 AFC teams. Only one of those are our a divisional opponent. I just don't understand. There's so much. There could be so much weight to this, to these games, if you hold them off to the end of the year. I don't get it.
It's because the NFL really does not care about the AFC South division. It's not one of the prime divisions, so they're not going to put a prime focus on the buildup to it.
I'm just saying the Titans specifically is the one that blows my mind.
So the Colts against the Jaguars week 6. So Jacksonville, instead of having their game stretched out like most of the time against Indianapolis, Colts take care of them early. And then you talked about week 7 at Tennessee. That one's probably, for me, that one probably could be the loss for me, is at Tennessee. Because I do think that the Colts and the Titans will split these two meetings.
Yeah, 100%.
But right there, through the first 7 weeks of the season, the Colts have had 5 divisional games. So when you look at it from that point, I mean, yes, it is the Texans, it is the Jaguars, but divisional games are always tough. No matter who is in your division, it's because the two teams know each other so well. They put a little bit more emphasis on division games because obviously your first goal is to win the division. So the Colts are going to be a little bit battered probably after week 7.
All right, week 8. Bringing Carson Wentz back to Lucas Oil, playing the Commanders. Washington Commanders, 4:25 game. Tom Brady could be commentating this game one day, but not yet. Andrew, do we just put an absolute stomp on the Commanders? Does the defense sell out on beating the shit out of Carson Wentz? I mean, because I know that defense feels like we weren't in the playoffs last year because of Carson Wentz. And I don't care how much they liked him. That's how they feel deep down. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm sure they're going to use it as a little bit of motivation. But, I mean, the defense also knows that they completely laid an egg against Jacksonville. They definitely weren't without fault in that collapse. So it's going to be a big game. I think probably more for – honestly, it's probably going to be bigger for Colts fans than it is for the Colts
Carson Wentz or the Colts players.
Yeah, because I mean, they still have a good relationship. I mean, Carson, because we talked about, Carson Wentz wasn't a bad guy, just wasn't a fit in Indianapolis. So, but I do think the fans are going to be rowdy for this one, because if you look at the time, it's a 4:25 p.m. kickoff. Long day of tailgating, a long day of fans consuming adult beverages in the
parking lots. Can I be honest? What's the date on that one? Do you have the date?
I do not have the date.
Okay. I think that might be one of the tickets I claim for me and you, which means Danny will get my ticket and Paige and I will buy our own tickets and we'll all go to that one together probably. that is what that usually means. Commanders.
It's gonna be an interesting one, and I'm sure the Colts defense will be looking for every opportunity to pounce on Carson Wentz's mistakes.
All right, Andrew. Opportunity for Bill Belichick to get a little revenge. Doesn't lose to the Colts very often. We're heading to the Patriots week 9. 1 p.m., so it's not, you know, the stakes aren't as high. However, I don't think the Patriots have done enough to improve enough to beat this Colts team. I'm not saying this is going to be an easy football game, but I do think it's going to be a more clear win by the Indianapolis Colts. What do you think?
I think it's the opposite way. I think the Patriots will get this one. I really do. Gillette Stadium in November. I think that the Patriots are still a pretty good team, and I think they still have plenty of pieces on that defensive side of the ball. We've already seen how the Patriots have sometimes got the best of Matt Ryan, and I'm sure they're going to have a complete game plan to really try to focus in on Jonathan Taylor. So as of right now, I do think the Patriots probably get the W in that one.
Hey, they can focus on Jonathan Taylor all they want. Matt Ryan's fucking licking his chops, ready to go, beat the snot out of the Patriots and Bill Belichick, and I can't wait. Moving along to the next week, we're heading to Las Vegas. Andrew, you and I might just head, you know, decide to go. Doubtful.
I doubt that one.
But Colts are heading to Las Vegas to play the Raiders, and this again is one that I think the Colts decide, you know what? You're one of those teams that knocked us out of the playoffs we should have been in. You're about to get these hands.
It's gonna be an interesting matchup, because the thing what I'm interested in watching is Davante Adams versus Stephon Gilmore in the middle of the season. The Colts are going to have some extra juice because they want to go and beat the Raiders, because the Raiders did help get them out of the playoffs. Another matchup I'm going to watch: Yannick Ngakoue versus his old team. Yannick Ngakoue is going to come in there with a lot of motivation because the Raiders gave up on Ngakoue. They traded him away so they could get Chandler Jones. Ngakoue is going to be very motivated to go out there and show them that, hey, you should not have gotten rid of me, and I'm going to make your life a living hell that day. So I'm going to give the Colts the W on that one in Las Vegas. I think they take care of business pretty handily.
I agree. I think that's a win. And now, buddy, I love this game. Not a bad blood game, for sure. But we're going to host Nick Sirianni and the Eagles 1 p.m. in week 11. And I think that's a fun game. I didn't have this one as a loss. I didn't pay much attention to this. But the more I think about it, at this point, if I'm looking at the way the Eagles are playing at the end of last season and the way we played at the end of last season, I'm picking the Eagles, right? It's going to be an interesting thing to see how our defense is playing in week 11. But if I match them up right now, I'm guessing the Eagles win that football game. That is not going to be a fun thing because we struggle with mobile quarterbacks.
I'm leaning Eagles as well, and I'm not going to say the Colts are going to struggle with mobile quarterbacks now, because there's a completely different defensive system. I got to see what Yannick Ngakoue and Kwity Paye can do about keeping those quarterbacks contained. But the Eagles have the Colt killer in A.J. Brown, so the Colts still have to face A.J. Brown again this year. Davante Smith, great wide receiver. It's going to be, can they force Jalen Hurts into some mistakes? I don't really think that the Eagles defense will be able to really, the Colts offense won't have a problem against the Eagles defense, but it'll be, can the Eagles offense really give the Colts defense some issues? So as of right now, I'd probably lean Eagles. Nick Sirianni returning to Lucas Oil Stadium, but that's going to be a sneaky good game.
I'm leaning Eagles as well. There's my marker. I'm marking these up. I'm interested to see. I mean, you get some of these teams, you get later in the season, and you just have no idea what's going to go on in week 11. So, yeah, again, our defense, I'm interested to see how we perform against a more mobile quarterback like a Russell Wilson on week 5. Interested to see how this defense contains, and I'm interested to see this revamped secondary as well. So that game, sneaky interesting. Now Monday Night Football, Andrew, we host the Steelers. Okay, it's been a long time since we beat the Steelers, let alone at home. You and I personally sat through one of the most miserable football games of my life against the Steelers at home. My cousin's just getting beat to hell with a terrible towel by an 8-year-old, and his dad's not doing a thing about it. That's the most, and that was a Monday Night Football game, if I remember correctly. So
I think that was a Thanksgiving Day game. We had Thanksgiving with our families and then headed down to Lucas Oil Stadium that night.
Oh, you're right. But I still had to work the next day because Black Friday, so I didn't drink. Yeah, that's it. So,
and that's why you wanted to leave early, like always.
I mean, I want to leave when the game's over, Andrew, not when the time clock runs out. You know what I'm saying? I think finally we end a nasty, nasty drought against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do not feel confident in their quarterback situation. Their defense is going to be good. They always are. It's a really, really, really well-coached team. But I just do not see that offense being very productive this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think we win this football game.
See, I'm going the other way. I think the Steelers still steal it because I think, hey, nice.
Andrew loves the Steelers.
Nice. I don't love the Steelers, but I, again, the Colts have that mental hurdle. They can't get over the Steelers. The Steelers just have the Colts number. And I know Ben Roethlisberger isn't there. They have Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky will be the quarterback. But at the same time, TJ Watt is still on the other side of the ball. And I think TJ Watt isn't going to slow down anytime soon. So I'm hoping the Colts can get over the hump and kind of take down the Steelers. But until I see it, I think I'm going to go Steelers.
All right. Well, bad pick. Then the Colts head on down to Dallas. My future father-in-law's favorite team, who we shut out the last time we played him a couple years ago. I don't see much change in this football game. I mean, I think they're going to score points because Dak Prescott's too good. I think Zeke's done. I think Zeke's just not who he was before, and that's what happens. You know, it'll probably happen to Jonathan Taylor one day, and we'll be crying about it at that point. But for Zeke, happy about it, not mad. Two primetime games in a row, Monday night, Sunday night. I think the Colts beat the pulp off the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think the Colts will take care of business in Dallas. This was going to be my away game this year if I wasn't getting married and going on a honeymoon, both very expensive. So
that's a damn shame.
I will not be going to Dallas this year.
What if Andy just makes that your wedding present, the Dallas game?
I mean, I'll go. I'll for sure go if that's the case. But hey, yeah, I think, I mean, the Dallas is a good team, but they're not as good as the Colts. And I think the Colts will pretty much handle them on Sunday night down there in Dallas.
Yep. All right. And Andrew, didn't we have a week 14 bye last year?
Week 14 bye, a very, very late bye, 2 years in a row for the Indianapolis Colts, which, I mean, it was, the Colts came after the bye is when the Colts were having issues and getting restarted, but man, it definitely hurts.
What we have last year? We had Cardinals, Raiders, Cardinals, Jaguars. Raiders,
Jaguars, and I think they had the Patriots. Before.
So we won two, lost two. We came out of the bye really hot, but then it was like we ran out of energy. I don't love the late bye again.
I don't love it if the Colts are really injured because, I mean, that leaves them till late in the season before they can try to catch up with things. So, and obviously guys are pretty tired playing 13 weeks in a row.
Yeah, so don't love the late bye again. Would prefer like a week 11. Which people, you know, might go, oh, what's a few weeks? Well, it's a lot for guys that are suffering through minute injuries. You know what I mean?
If the Colts are in pretty comfortable playoff position by then, I think it could be very beneficial because then they get that late bye, set themselves up to possibly go on a playoff run. But if they're in the thick of things, then I think it could hurt them a little bit.
Head up to Minnesota. Don't have much to say about this game. I think Minnesota's taken a step back this year. With new coaching, new this, new that, and Kirk Cousins seems to be, I mean, he doesn't take games over. So I think we win this football game.
I think the Colts have a pretty good advantage in this football game. The last two times that the Colts played the Vikings, Colts handled the Vikings, and I don't see that changing this year either. I think Kirk Cousins can't get them over the hump. I think Jonathan Taylor, that's a game where he can have a field day and really take over like he did a couple years ago. So, yeah, Colts will win in Minnesota, I think, pretty easily.
On paper, this is one of the most favorable Colts schedules in recent memory. A lot of that is playing in the AFC South, where the Colts should be top dog. The rest of it is that the Giants are on the schedule. Richie Dubosc. So thanks for that, Richie. Moving on to the Chargers. This game is, I think, where we receive our final loss of the season. At Chargers, home versus the Chargers, don't care. I think Justin Herbert hands us our pants in this football game.
See, I think the Colts get this one. I think they really do. Justin Herbert coming across the country, Monday night football game, but I think the Colts are going to be ready for Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Yes, the Chargers have a lot of weapons, but I think as far as defensively on the defensive side of the ball for the Chargers, I would take Jonathan Taylor and the Colts offensive line versus that Chargers defense, and I think that could be a run the damn ball night, and Jonathan Taylor could get his. So I'm going to go Colts. I feel confident in that one.
I'm trying to count up the losses I've had so far. I only have 16 games. I'm missing a game here. But anyway, yeah, I think... I think Justin Hurt, I think this is one of those games where at the end of the week we're talking about, see, you need to have that quarterback. You need to have that quarterback. And I think Justin Herbert year three just eats us alive. I think Justin Herbert's going to have an astounding year. Like an unnecessarily great year. I think the Chargers might win their division.
I could see that, but I also I just have a lot of faith in this Colts defense. I really do. Like, legitimately, from top to bottom, I think this Colts defense could be very easily top five to top three unit in 2022.
All right, week 17 against the Giants. I mean, we got to win this football game, right? Like, we can keep this short. We win this football game.
I think the Giants at that point in the season will be trying to lose every game possible to get either CJ Stroud or Bryce Young in the 2023 draft. At
that point
draft.
In the season, we might be so comfortable with our position that we might not care. And the Giants are going to be like, how do we lose this football game?
I don't think the Colts will be that at that point, but I don't think the Giants will be very motivated. So yeah, I'll take the Colts.
And last game of the season, the Texans. At home, yeah. So this is one you might worry about. You might worry about, one, us feeling like we have nothing to gain or lose, and the Texans having nothing to lose. And you might have that quarterback, that young QB, just on a tear. Davis Mills, who knows? I really don't know what to expect out of the Texans late in the season.
He could be on a tear. I do expect the Colts to kind of take care of business in this one, to solidify their playoff spot. I don't think the collapse is going to happen 2 years in a row. And again, the Texans might be in a spot to take either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud at the bottom of the drafts or at the top of the draft. So I think the Colts will handle this one and kind of head into the playoffs on a little bit of a winning streak.
All right, Andrew, and we're at a record prediction. If you're watching live, let's see your record predictions in the comments. It's been a quiet night. I don't know where the hell Stats Matt is. Tweeted at him, bitching at him. He's camping. Camping trip with the boys. Unbelievable. All you can eat and drink. I don't care. I don't care, Stats Matt. So record predictions in the chat. Andrew, where is your record prediction currently? How do you see this season going? First reaction to the schedule.
It's a very favorable schedule for the Colts. I honestly like that the division games are all in the beginning because the Colts can take care of business and really try to set themselves up to
that's fair
to take command of the division early in the season. I like that a lot of the primetime games that the Colts have, they can win. I think they'll split them and go 2-2. But then the way the Colts end the season, three out of the four games should be easy W's, at Vikings, at Giants, and then home against the Texans. I think that could, even if they lose to the Chargers, I think that can set them up and give them some momentum with winning the three out of the last four. I'm going to go 12-5 as my early prediction for the Colts.
And I'm going one more win than you. I think we go 13-4. I think that we have an opportunity against some big teams like the Chiefs. I think we win that game. I think we beat the Patriots. Steelers. And those are three big games that I think a lot of people would mark us down for losses. The Broncos, one that I do think we lose. But I think we won some big football games. So not unusual for me to pick like one more game than you. What are you saying?
Good old Tom Brady's back
fucking
in the chat.
Tom Brady, get
going
out of
12
here.
And 5.
Go to Fox, asshole. Get out of here. I got to know who this guy is. It's so annoying. But it's also so funny. Like, I'm so glad that it happens. Thank you, Tom Brady, for watching the show. So 13-4. Andrew has us at 12-5. Do we win the division?
I think so. I picked the Colts to win the division.
God, thank God. It's the only year we've said that. So, let's get this damn Texans bullshit out of my way. Andrew, let's talk about some other Colts news before we dig into the rest of the NFL schedule. The Colts have signed offensive tackle Dennis Kelly. We release offensive tackle Sean Coleman and linebacker Malik Jefferson. Just a little lower roster level moves.
I really love the Dennis Kelly signing. I mean, he was a starter with the Titans for a number of years, played a lot of games with the Packers last year. Real long hair. Desmond Patman, we got a guy that's coming for your crown. But I think Dennis Kelly is the perfect swing tackle for the Indianapolis Colts. Can play right, can play left. He's a solid veteran there. Gives the Colts really good depth along the offensive line. And I think this signing honestly should have happened last year because Dennis Kelly wanted to play with the Colts. Instead, the Colts signed Sam Tevy and Julian Davenport, and that certainly didn't work out. Dennis Kelly, great signing for the Colts, and can be one of those backup tackles along the offensive line.
I just saw Tom Brady saying 12-5 again. I'm just shitting myself. And nothing on Sean Coleman or linebacker Malik Jefferson. Yeah, I mean, it's just lower level moves. This is not a big deal.
Now the next one where the Colts waived tight end Farrad Green and Eli Wolf. I thought Farrad Green was going to have a chance to make the roster. So that was kind of a surprise.
After the draft, do you think that's a surprise?
I do, because I thought he could fight with Drew Ogletree as possibly that last spot because Ogletree is just so raw. So obviously the Colts have a higher opinion on Ogletree than we think, and Farrad Green is no longer with the team.
And tight end Eli Wolf gone. Colts director of college scouting Morocco Brown expected to interview with Eagles for a high ranking executive position. Andrew, WTF, what is going on?
Morocco Brown has been a hot name this offseason. He interviewed with the Steelers. I think he interviewed with the Falcons for their GM position. And now the Eagles possibly trying to poach Morocco Brown over to their team. It would be more like an assistant GM role, kind of like what Ed Dodd's role is with
the Colts. Which is a step up.
Which is a step up for him. And if they do hire him, Morocco Brown 100% deserves it. He's a rock star, and he's going to be a GM in this league very, very soon.
Andrew, here's the thing about coaches and executive positions like this and scouting, yada, yada. Jim Irsay can pay these human beings however much he wants to pay them. You know what I mean? Even if it's out of the realm for the position. Do you think teams start saying, hey, which this would just cause a catalyst effect, right, into the GM pay and everything, but like, do you think a team could just say, you know what, I'm going to pay Morocco Brown an unreasonable amount of money to stay here and continue doing his job with the Colts? And do you think Morocco Brown would accept that?
I don't think he would accept it because I think he was looking at the position. Sure. I mean, at this point, these guys make enough money. So it's not like they're strapped for cash. They make plenty of money.
Yep.
But this is a promotion for Morocco Brown, and it would help his case to possibly become a GM someday. And I mean, if some owners do it, I think there's also some play there within the owners' meeting that if one owner does it, the others would have to start doing it. That would kind of create some friction between the other owners as well. And I do think that matters behind
that's true. It does big time. That's kind of what people talked about when the Panthers paid their coach so much money. Mm-hmm. Colts area scout Mike DeReese will be joining the Giants as a national scout. No different than the last thing we just said, except the guy's actually leaving.
Mike DeReese is a good guy, is a really good scout for the Colts. He again gets a promotion, but as we talked about, Mike DeReese was the guy that was really high on Nick Cross. He was the guy that was really high on, it was somebody else with that Colts just took last year. Isaiah Rogers. He was, or a couple years ago, Isaiah Rogers. He was real instrumental in that, being in the Northeast area. Mike DeReese is a good scout. Wish him well.
All right. Sorry, I'm responding to Mr. Carmen, Mrs. Carmen, seeing Chetty. I'd like for them to explain their comment. Anyway, let's move along to news around the league, Andrew, because you said to me secretly, nobody saw, it's time to get moving. Now I see why. So let's do that. Other scheduling highlights. Week 1, Bills at Rams, Thursday Night Football. Could have been, should have been the Super Bowl. Going to be an interesting football game.
Kicks off the season, Bills at Rams. Yep. Rams will get the banner, and Josh Allen starts off the season on prime time, ready to rip it up.
Week one as well, Buccaneers and Cowboys in Tampa, a repeat of last year's season opener, which was, honest to God, one of the best games of the season.
It really was. I think it's going to be another big game, and obviously the networks want to have Tom Brady back in prime time after he retires and then unretires. That should be a good game. I'm excited for that one.
Broncos at Seahawks. Week one, Monday Night Football. I can't get it any better than this. I mean, this is, honest to God, like this, these opening three primetime games, it doesn't get any better than this.
It really doesn't. I mean, they're not even going to wait to make it happen. Russell Wilson going back to Seattle. It's going to be a wild time. I think Russ is going to try to absolutely stomp the Seahawks into the ground.
And he has an opportunity to.
Wouldn't be surprised that 375 yards and 4 to 5 TDs from Russell Wilson that night.
And he's going to say, hey, this is what I wanted you to use me as. That's going to be awesome. Week two, Chargers at Chiefs, Thursday Night Football. It's a divisional game, so that's going to happen twice, but Thursday Night Football. I you don't have any comment on a divisional game, right, Andrew?
That's the first game with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit up in the booth for Thursday night. But you remember the game last year between the Chargers and Chiefs that went into overtime, and it seemed like they were just constantly going back and forth. Have to highlight it when it's Herbert versus Mahomes.
Monday Night Football doubleheader in week two, Titans at Bills, Vikings at Eagles.
I'm excited for the Titans at Bills. That's going to be a big game, and it could possibly give the Titans a loss early in the year versus an AFC opponent.
And every time you look at that game the last few years, it seems to be the team that is not as hot wins that game. Mm-hmm. Which is weird. You know what I mean? Like anytime we're like, oh, the Bills got this, they lose. Anytime we're like, well, the Titans are going to win, the Bills win. It's been weird. So,
and week one, if the Bills do lose to the Rams, that could be huge too, because if they drop one to the Titans, all of a sudden the Bills start out 0-2.
Right. Chiefs at Buccaneers, week four, we got a Patrick Tom rematch again, Super Bowl rematch.
Say what you will about Tom Brady, friend of the show, but those are always good games between the Chiefs and the Bucks.
Bengals at Ravens, week five, Sunday Night Football.
Joe Burrow,
a couple of young quarterbacks, nothing crazy.
AFC North, those matchups, you know, are always a dogfight. Joe Burrow versus Lamar Jackson.
Bengals are a force. Ravens at Bucks. I don't know why Andrew has this mark other than it's a Thursday Night Football game.
Lamar Jackson versus Tom Brady. Bucks, another primetime game. I think they have 5 total this year.
But, fun fact, they don't play each other.
I'm really interested to see how the Ravens do this year, just because Lamar hasn't signed an extension. Mm-hmm. They lost Hollywood Brown. Mm-hmm. I think this year could be really important for the future of the Baltimore Ravens, and I don't think we're talking about it enough.
They might get last in that division this year. Depending on how much Deshaun Watson plays. If he plays, they might get last in the division.
Depending on how that quarterback play is in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's the big those two, the dominant teams in the AFC North might be the bottom two. That's incredible. Oh, that would be awesome. Packers at Bills, Sunday Night Football, week 8. That's just an interesting football game.
I think that's a
big barn burner
for Aaron Rodgers going up against Josh Allen, the old guard versus the new guard. It's going to be a good one.
Yep. Cowboys at Packers.
Mike McCarthy.
That's a classic.
Mike McCarthy's first game at Lambeau Field since he was fired. So,
which is interesting, as well as the fact that Cowboys versus Packers is a fun football game.
It is.
Week 10, Commanders at Eagles. Obviously, Carson Wentz back to Philly. He's going to get 2 shots at the Eagles.
He is. I'm sure he's going to get a warm welcome going back to Philly.
He's not going to get a warm welcome at all, and it's going to be so loud and live on Monday Night Football, which, by the way, got so much better.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Gotta love it.
so much better than it was.
And the Manning
that's the best thing that ever could have happened to Monday. I mean, I might honestly be torn between the Manning cast or Joe Buck and Troy Aikman because they're so good together. I mean,
they are.
Oh, it's going to be hard to choose. Chiefs at Broncos. Another divisional game that Andrew feels important to put on the list.
Well, Patrick and Mahomes
Bills versus Patriots.
Bills at Patriots week 13. I think the Patriots are going to be very motivated this year to kind of stick it back to the Bills after the Bills just absolutely mollywopped them in the playoffs. And then week 14, Chiefs at Broncos. I mean, honestly, that could be a game that helps decide the AFC West. I mean, Mahomes, right. Russell Wilson at the very end of it, like you were talking about, those division games at the end are important.
Rams at Packers. This is interesting. Just out of the Aaron Rodgers, California, LA situation. And again, Andrew, at that point in the season, could be a deciding game for the NFC.
Yeah, number one seed could be on the line. I mean, Matthew Stafford, all those years in the NFC North going against Aaron Rodgers, goes back to Lambeau Field. Very important game.
Broncos at Rams on Christmas Day. Anything stick out to you about that, Andrew, besides the fact that it's the first ever Christmas Day game for the NFL?
I think they had some games last year on Christmas Day, didn't they?
No, I'm pretty sure that's the first ever Christmas Day game.
I don't know. I think that
I feel like I saw something. Stats Matt, wish you were here, asshole.
I remember Kirk Cousins playing on Christmas Day last year.
No.
You can look. Right.
No, because we're competing. I saw an article. It was like the NFL decides to compete with the NBA Christmas Day. Ah. Rhymes with hey. All right. Well, I could be wrong.
It'll still be a good game because Matt's
not here. Nobody knows.
You're talking Russell Wilson versus Matthew Stafford. That's going to be a good game.
All right. Week 17, Rams at Chargers. LA. So I guess Rams at Rams, Chargers at Chargers. That's an interesting one, right?
They'll just be switching. Rams will just be going to the visiting team's locker room, I guess.
That sucks, by the way. Like, you're in your home stadium and you're in the... honest to God, I think I'm going to pick Chargers for that game.
I would hammer the Chargers money line.
Because, like, imagine, like, having to go to the lockers for the visitors in your own home stadium. That's going to
be weird.
That's not the first time that's happened, by the way. Like, the Jets and the Giants share a stadium, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Cardinals game Christmas Day. Was the Cardinals game Christmas Day?
It was. Tom Brady knows more about the Colts than you do.
I was talking about jellyfish. Dude, I swear to God, I saw something that was like the NFL is deciding to compete with the NBA on Christmas Day. Listen, don't blame me. Blame the article, the shitty article I read, okay? I think saw the headline of.
I think you're on crack.
Chargers. Bills at Bengals. Little rematch.
Could that possibly help decide the number one seed in the AFC?
It could, and it could be another conference championship rematch and pre-match. Could be the conference championship again next year. Who knows?
It really could.
Should be us.
It's gonna be a wild NFL season. I can't wait.
I love football. I can't wait. Don't wish away the summer, you know what I mean? But like also NFL season. Giants release cornerback James Bradberry. I don't know why Andrew bothered to put this in the news.
So this shows how much Brandon keeps up to date on his Colts news. So James Bradberry, the Pro Bowl corner from the Giants, who the Colts have had quite a bit of interest in. They were talking with the Giants about possibly trading for James Bradberry. Didn't come to fruition. There were a lot of other teams involved. He's definitely going to have a market because he is one of the top cornerbacks in the league. And the Colts have enough cap space. If they wanted to bring him on board to be the other outside cornerback, think of a secondary with Stephon Gilmore, Kenny Moore, and James Bradberry. That's your new Legion of Boom. That's your new lockdown or no fly zone for the Colts. That'd be
interesting.
Hell of a secondary.
There we go. Andrew educates me. The educated fan, formerly known, you know. The Bucks quarterback. The Patriots quarterback. Let's just be real. Tom Brady has agreed to join Fox as its lead NFL analyst when his playing career ends. Reports are deal is for 10 years, $375 million. my god, 375 million, that's wild. But anyway, your game of the week, NFL game of the week,
it'll be NFL game of the week on Fox.
Game of the week on Fox is going to be Tom Brady. They said never announced a game in his life, and he's game of the week, so good for him.
You want to hear something that's even more wild?
I have business, so no, not really, but go ahead.
Guess what Tom Brady's career earnings are in the NFL.
Less than that deal, just like Troy Aikman.
$333 million. And in 10 years, just announcing the games, Brady's going to make $375 million. That's absurd. Absurd.
Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was arrested on Thursday and is facing charges for second-degree tampering with domestic violence. Enhancer? Andrew, do you speak English?
I mean, if you want to talk to the
lawyer,
the sheriff's office, dude, that's literally what the charge is.
Let's start bringing on lawyers and sheriffs. They won't even know, you know, if they're out of state. We'll just start bringing them on.
That sounds like an incredibly boring show.
No. We just say, hey, why'd you arrest Jerry Jeudy? And they go, continuing investigation. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Terrible show. Terrible guest.
Great yeah. listeners.
I mean, the Broncos had everything going for them this offseason. Now this comes up. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, another young, talented wide receiver. I mean, we'll see what happens, but it doesn't sound good.
Comments. We see Garrison Woodson saying Wooden. Sorry, apologies, Garrison. 13-4. New defense takes time. Ryan limitations with new O line. I assume Carmen means. Yeah, but also he's got more of an offseason than any of our recent quarterbacks. So who knows? Money bags. Tom Brady, shut up. Shut up, Tom Brady. Get off our stream, you bastard. this is hilarious. I don't know who this guy is, but I love you. I mean, I really do. I appreciate you. Andrew, I think that's it. People, go follow us at a Colts podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Please go follow us on Instagram, especially. I'm trying to vamp it up. I'm not doing a great job, but Twitter's great. Facebook's great.
Hey, thanks. By the way, thanks to all of our listeners and the people that watch on YouTube.
Minus stats map.
I mean, we love stats map. But last week's episode was our first episode on YouTube that surpassed 1,000 views.
Andrew's giving numbers. Classic him. Doesn't know how to sell things. Hey, record-breaking episode last episode. Well, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. But the way we grow and the way things become more fun, the way we can run contests for like tickets, for Andrew season tickets, things like that, you know, we got to grow. So you have to share this podcast. Shut up, Stats Matt. You have to share the podcast with your friends.
Better late than never.
You have to tell your grandpa. You have to tell your grandma.
Tell Maury Povich.
Maury Povich.
You might not be the father, but you'll listen to a Colts podcast.
Submit it to your local news station and say, hey, this show's good. Whatever you got to do to share and make us grow. Because you know what? If we stop growing, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to do it anymore. We want to grow. Bigger, better. Novaline or whatever. I don't know.
Let's end the show.
We appreciate you guys listening. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell your mom I said what's up. Until next time.
Go Colts.
Go Colts.
This moment become a cherished memory. And then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.